I'll just remind you once again, you're listening to KUCI in Irvine, and hit a little theme music. Darkling Eclectica presents a collection of broadcast fiction brought to you by the Darkling Eclectica. Reputation by Michael H. Payne, Part 18. Rabbit was back before Rat had time to take his satchel off.
If you'll just come this way, please, sir.
He led Rat up the hallway to a door with the words Director Bracken's Farms carved into it. The rabbit scratched lightly, then pushed the door open.
Mr. Nibbler, sir.
Thank you, Russell,
came a voice from inside.
I'll have these letters signed before I leave, so come back for them in about 20 minutes, will you?
Of course, sir.
The secretary gestured, and Rat stepped into the room. The rabbit who hopped over was reddish, graying at the nose, and slightly heavy-set. He smiled as he stuck out a paw.
Mr. Nibbler, I'm Harlow Thax. Pleased to meet you.
Rat took the paw.
Likewise, Mr. Thax. Fascinating operation you have here. I get out this way all too rarely.
Yes, it is interesting work, although on days like these I'd almost rather be out in the fields, I think. At least we'd get a bit of a breeze.
Thax beamed at him and gestured to several padded stools.
Have a seat if you like, and tell me what you've come about.
Thank you.
Rat unslung his satchel and sat, Thax moving back to the other side of his desk.
Well, simply stated, sir, I'm here on behalf of a client concerning the cabbage theft of a few nights ago.
Yes, so Russell said.
Thax pursed his lips.
You'll pardon me if I speak bluntly, Mr. Nibbler, but I don't quite see why this affair should concern anyone outside my own staff. As cabbage is one of our most important cash crops, I have myself reviewed all relevant contracts, and I have every reason to believe that we can meet our stipulated quotas. You can take your employer my personal guarantee that...
Forgive me for interrupting, Mr. Thax, but no one could possibly doubt that Bracken's Farms will keep its promises. No, my client is purely interested in seeing justice done. He's convinced that Ms. Ricks is innocent.
Thax's ears twitched.
I'm afraid I don't understand. Ms. Ricks was responsible for those fields from which the produce was stolen. Surely your client doesn't dispute that.
No, but my client feels that Ms. Ricks had no knowledge of the theft and in no way aided or abetted the criminals.
The rabbit spread his paws.
It's entirely beside the point. Had this been some sort of natural disaster, the case would be much different. But with a theft, and as the cabbages haven't been found, well, Ms. Ricks must bear the burden for their loss.
Rat scratched his chin.
Then you've looked for them?
Oh, certainly. I sent a crew out the morning after the theft, and they searched all that day and all day yesterday. They uncovered no sign of the cabbages.
What about Captain Hawk? Did you ask him or any of the Air Force to take a look around?
Thax shrugged.
I saw no need. As we will be able to fulfill our contracts, no formal charges need be pressed.
So what'll happen to Ms. Ricks?
Well, she's been stripped of her duties, of course. We'll be asked to reimburse the company to replace the missing cabbage, and we'll be incarcerated here for a period of time to be determined when the board of directors meets tomorrow at dawn.
Thax stopped and rubbed his eyes.
This has been an unfortunate affair in every way.
Ms. Ricks was an excellent field supervisor, a bit experimental perhaps, but a splendid organizer and quite popular with the crews.
He sighed.
A most unfortunate affair.
Rat ran a claw through his whiskers.
Then you wouldn't mind if I had a look around? I'm sure your crews searched the area thoroughly, but for my client's peace of mind...
Oh, feel free, Mr. Nibbler.
Fax hopped out from behind his desk.
If you need any more assistance, please don't hesitate to contact me, and I'm sure anyone in the fields will be more than happy to help.
He stuck out a paw.
Well, thank you. If I find anything, I'll let you know.
Rat shook and made his way out of the office. The heat struck him full in the face as he stepped into the farmyard, and he stood squinting till his eyes got used to the light. He wanted to wonder some more why he was doing this, but it made his head hurt, so he stopped. The fields shimmered just past the buildings to his left. Rat pulled at his satchel, then started toward them. Asking directions from a few field workers, he wound through asparagus, tomatoes, carrots, then came to cabbages, round and green and nearly his height. He pushed through row after row. Then they were gone, and he was stepping out into a large square of bare earth, the dirt squishing between his claws. At the center of the square, he stopped, cabbages on three sides, the fourth budding right up to the edge of the forest. Only the dirt path that ran around the outside of the farms separated the field from the woods. About a sixth of the crop seemed to be missing. Still a lot of cabbages. This whole end of the farms seemed to be growing the things. He dug around a little, but all he found was loose earth. The cabbages had been pulled out of the ground, root and all. He took off his hat. Who would want so many cabbages? And how could anyone move them so quickly? Out through the woods here, sure, but it would still take half a dozen otters all night just to dig the things up. And smaller folk... All in all, Rat decided, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. Thax was the only one in the area with the folks at his disposal for anything of this size, but why would he go through so much trouble just to steal from himself? He could have staged the whole thing to get rid of Ms. Ricks, the way Bobcat apparently thought, but nobody smelled suspicious, and everyone Rat talked to put in a good word for her. No, this was an outside job. But who? And why? And where could so many cabbages go in a small place like Otter's Gate? Rat put his hat back on. Might as well take a look among the trees. Not that those rabbits would have left anything untrampled. But as long as he was here... Across the dirt path and up the wooded slope, rabbit tracks covered everything. The ground and underbrush torn up and left in piles. They had dug at the base of every tree, cleared the fallen leaves away, pushed most of the rocks around, and all of it smelled of nothing but rabbit. One look, and Rat kept walking. Any clue that might have been here sure wasn't any more. No use even trying this close to the farms. So he clambered up the slope till the rabbit scent cleared away and the undergrowth came back, scrub grass reaching almost to his snout. Wiping the sweat from his ears, he turned to look down at the field and noticed the trail. He blinked and squinted to make sure he wasn't seeing things, but the shadowed line continued to run straight down the side of the hill through the scrub. It disappeared where the rabbits had torn the ground to shreds, but it ran along the hill through the undergrowth just to his right. Whiskers tingling, he pushed through the brush toward it and came out into a sort of corridor, the grass flattened in a swath about a tail length across and stretching from the fields below up into the woods. The trench wasn't perfectly straight, he could see from here, and it seemed to widen regularly to two or three tail lengths. It smelled, too, though he had to sniff along the squashed stalks for a minute to recognize it, cottonseed oil, like he used on the hinges of his windows. Rat fanned himself for a minute, then started up the hill to the first wide place in the trench. Another whiff of something came to him here, a vague fur-like smell, but it was too old to tell who'd made it. A sigh, and he kept going. The trees grew denser, the hill leveling out, the undergrowth starting to thin, but the path went on, marked now in fallen leaves crushed to powder. Wrong for someone dragging a travoy, and the lack of paw prints made him wonder... Weaving between the trunks, the trail led him on and on until he came around a beech tree, and there, in the forest twilight, sat the thing that had made the track. He had to stare a minute before he realized what it was, and even then he could barely believe what he was seeing. A wheelbarrow, that much was easy, but a wheelbarrow at least 20 times bigger than any he had ever seen. It towered up in the shadows of the oak trees, and for more than a minute, all he could do was blink at the thing. A very unpleasant thought began forming in his mind. He crept forward, whiskers spread. The fallen leaves surrounding the thing told him nothing, so thoroughly tramped down he couldn't make out individual paw prints. That ghostly scent, though, rose up to him. Fir musk, definitely, but it was just too faded. And on the other side of the wheelbarrow, he found two more tracks running parallel to each other and leading off to the southwest, deeper and deeper into the woods, away from Ottersgate. Rat tugged at a whisker. Somebody, taking pains to leave as small a trail as possible, those bulges in the track, he realized now, were the paw prints he'd been looking for, had pushed this wheelbarrow full of cabbages up the hill and had then unloaded the things into some sort of pushcart. The culprit had been very large and very thorough, and he'd left the wheelbarrow here. It added up to several things that Rat didn't want to think about. He turned away, scurried back through the woods to the top of the slope, down the hill, and slid at last, panting and sweating, onto the path beside the cabbage field. At least the sun had set, the air already cooler. But that also meant no straw hats out among the vegetables, and Rat doubted the rabbits had any guards posted. After all, they already had the responsible party locked up. Any further thefts would just add more charges to the list. Moving into the first row of cabbages, he slung off his satchel, put his hat on it, and sat down. He'd have to spend the night in the field here. That the thief hadn't taken his wheelbarrow meant he was coming back, and Rat needed to get to Thax's meeting at dawn to tell his board of directors about it. March in there, lay out the facts, try to convince them. He sighed and rubbed his eyes. It almost seemed like a dream now, that giant wheelbarrow looming out of the muggy silence up there in the woods. And if he was right about what it meant, he needed to convince not only these rabbits, whom he'd already lied to, but the rest of Ottersgate, half of whom told stories about what a monster he was. Well, one step at a time. Get to Thax's meeting, and worry about the rest later. He peeled a strip off the nearest cabbage and nibbled on it. A nice summer campout. Just what he needed. And maybe some brilliant plan would come to him while he slept. He gave a laugh. Yeah, real likely. The blue of the sky deepened into a warm summer darkness, and Rat dozed on and off. The stars shifted every time he cracked his eyelids, so he knew it was just past midnight when a scuffling brought him fully awake. A half-moon slumped at the horizon, its light just enough to set a crouching shadow beside each cabbage. He stretched his whiskers, and the thick stench of catnip almost knocked him over backwards. He stood, peered into the darkness, and called, "Bobcat?" The shuffling stopped, and he heard several sniffs.
"Wait a minute,"
came that shaky voice.
"Rat? Is that you?"
"Yeah, it's me. What are you doing out here?"
"Well, what do you think?"
A bobcat-shaped silhouette loomed from the cabbages ahead.
"Those idiot rabbits are gonna lock Garson up unless I..."
He trailed off.
"Hey, what are you doing here? I thought you... I mean, didn't you say... They already paid you off, didn't they?"
Rat didn't want to start an argument.
"Well, I did some serious thinking after you left, and I decided that maybe I was a little quick on this. I came out here and poked around, and you were right. Garson didn't do it."
"I told ya!"
The cat swayed over and plopped down beside Rat's satchel.
"Fax is trying to get rid of her."
The catnip made Rat sneeze a few times before he could answer.
"I don't know about that. From what I found, I'd say we got more going on here than some labor dispute."
Bobcat cocked his head.
"Well, how do you mean?"
"Well..."
Rat started. But an odd little sound stopped him. A slow sound, sliding down through the night from the hill across the road. Like someone pushing something quietly through the underbrush. And Rat went cold all over.
"Well, what?"
Bobcat asked.
Rat hissed. "Do you hear that?"
Bobcat blinked, his ears twisting.
Something's coming out of the woods.
He turned.
Sounds big.
Yeah.
Rat could see the shadow now moving between the trees, growing larger and more distinct, till it stepped out into the moonlight and became...
Brains and eggs!
He heard Bobcat gasp. He almost gasped himself, and he'd been expecting it. The guy was huge, his head nearly reaching to the first row of tree branches. He lumbered across the dirt road, the giant wheelbarrow moving easily along in front of him, his fur dark, his big claws darker.
That's a...
Bobcat was crouched down now, his ears back.
That's a bear!
A brown or black, let's hope.
Rat swallowed.
I doubt a grizzly'd be interested in cabbages.
Oh, wait a minute.
Bobcat's breath whistled through his teeth.
You mean, he took the cabbages the other night?
Yeah.
Mind racing, Rat looked over his shoulder. How fast can you get back to town?
Wait a minute.
Bobcat said again, a growl in his voice.
That's the guy that's getting Garson in all this trouble?
What?
Rat turned, the bear pushing his wheelbarrow past them to the cabbages off to the left, Bobcat's muscles bunching, his ears down, his eyes fixed on the bear. And before Rat could make another move, Bobcat snarled, leapt across the dirt, and sprang into the bear's face. The bear staggered back, Bobcat screaming and clawing and biting, and Rat rushed out after him, nothing he could do, though, but watched the bear regain his balance and peel Bobcat, hissing and flailing, away from his head. Holding the cat at arm's length, the bear rumbled,
"We must learn to control our tempers,"
and tossed Bobcat away into the cabbages. The thud when he hit made Rat wince, but the cat was probably too catnipped up to feel it. And the bear, as soon as his paws were free, sat and began pulling cabbages from the ground, plopping them into his wheelbarrow. For a moment, Rat watched. Then he turned and hurried back to his satchel. He put on his hat, slung the satchel over his shoulder, and made his way across the square of empty earth to where the bear's bulk blocked out the stars.
"Good morning,"
he called as soon as he figured he was close enough to be heard.
"Do you mind if I ask you a couple questions?"
The bear looked up, glanced around till his gaze fell on Rat.
"Oh, good morning, rodent. Please, ask away."
Smiling, he dropped a few more cabbages into his wheelbarrow.
"I applaud curiosity in you lesser species. It shows that you're taking an interest in the wider world around you."
He stretched a paw toward Rat, each claw bigger than Rat was tall.
"Just come a bit closer so I might see you better."
Sweat at the base of his tail, Rat shuffled forward and tried his best to look as if he talked to folks bigger than his whole house every day.
"It's just, well, I always thought you larger folk liked to avoid us smaller folk."
"A ridiculous superstition on our part."
Cabbages continued to plop into the wheelbarrow.
"Our ancient sagas, full of wisdom as they are, contain many a story of you lesser mammals and your wily ways. But no one of discernment takes these as more than tales to amuse the cubs, allegories at best, for our own primal natures, before we advanced to..."
With another snarl, Bobcat flew from the cabbages again. This time, though, the bear grabbed him out of the air and held him up by one hind leg.
"Take this poor beast, for example. Biting, scratching, intoxicated, lacking the least jot of self-control. The ancients warned that you creatures spread such behavior like a disease, but I see no danger here for one who is truly civilized."
A shrug of his massive shoulders, and the bear flicked Bobcat off through the night to land with another thud somewhere out in the cabbage field.
"Now, if you'll excuse me..."
"Oh, please. Go right ahead."
Rat watched the bear work for a while, then cleared his throat loudly.
"But I'm still curious as to why you're here."
"Very well, rodent."
The bear brushed dirt from his paws and settled himself into the space he had just cleared among the cabbages.
"You say you are curious. Oh, you cannot know how this delights me. For curiosity is the first step on the road to understanding. Indeed, curiosity played a large part in my decision to come here."
"Oh, you wanted to understand us smaller folk?"
"Understand you?"
The bear threw his head back and let loose with a deep, ringing laugh that shook Rat's whiskers.
"My dear rodent,"
the bear said at last, wiping his eyes.
One might as well try to understand the ways of the bee, or the social structure of the anthill. No, I wish to understand why the ancients warned so strongly against having any congress with you. We harvest honey from the bee, larvae from the ant. Why should we not likewise avail ourselves of a harvest as bountiful as this?
He held a cabbage up, then dropped it into his wheelbarrow. Rat rubbed his whiskers.
Maybe because there's a little difference between me and an ant?
Well, of course there is, but...
A growl interrupted him, and Bobcat shot from the cabbages once more. This time, the bear just curled his lip and slapped him away, the cat squealing off through the darkness. Then a thud, and silence.
Oh, but still,
the bear rumbled darkly.
You are beasts, uncivilized creatures. Your power of speech merely a parody of our own gift of reason.
He tore a cabbage from the ground, slammed it into the wheelbarrow, then blinked and rubbed a paw between his eyes.
As a resource, however, you would prove extremely valuable, and I hope to show my fellows that the ancient sagas did not truly mean for us to ignore such fertile fields.
He blew out a breath, pulled a cabbage up more gently, and set it in the wheelbarrow with the others. Rat thought quickly.
So, your ancients say to keep away from us, but you think you know better than they did.
Oh, not at all. The wisdom of the ancient sagas is beyond doubt. I merely thought to investigate
whether you could make any money selling cabbages you stole from us.
Rat swallowed, moved into Grandpa's basic defensive stance.
You're nothing but a common thief.
The bear turned, his lips pulling back, the points of his teeth glittering over Rat's head like stars.
I am a pioneer, opening new lands for use by civilized folk. Once I've shown that you pose no danger to us, we will journey here to...
Or is it that your ancient sagas approve of stealing? No, that can't be it. You reject the truths of the ancients.
Rodent, you are becoming tiresome. I must ask you...
Or could it be that you've misread the sagas? You wouldn't be the first one to be deluded and led astray by his own lack of understanding.
The bear leaned forward, his huge front paws settling into the dirt a few tail lengths from Rat.
You shouldn't.
A snarl from behind, right on schedule. Bobcat screaming across the night sky to wrap himself around the back of the bear's head. Fur flew, the cat's claws slashing, the stink of blood flooding the air, and the bear leaped to his full height over the cabbage patch.
Damn you!
He roared, tearing Bobcat away with an audible rip and hurling him to the ground.
You filthy, malodorous abomination!
Wait!
Rat jumped for the bear's thigh, scrambled up his fur to his shoulder.
Think for a minute! This is just what the ancients said!
The night sky spun as the bear bent, grabbed Bobcat from the ground, held him aloft, one paw around the cat's chest, the other sweeping up, its claws spread. Digging through fur to the bear's ear, Rat shouted into it,
"The ancients warned about what happens when you mix with us smaller folk, and see? You're turning into an unreasoning creature, an uncivilized beast, just like the sagas say. Look at what you're doing. Think for a minute. Think!"
He snapped a glance at the bear's upraised paw, held his breath while it didn't move, didn't move, didn't move, until with a shudder that almost shook Rat from his perch, the claws relaxed, slowly lowered. Looking over his shoulder, he saw Bobcat hanging from the bear's other paw like moss. Then everything shifted, the bear stooping, laying Bobcat gently on the ground and growling,
"Get off me, rodent."
Rat didn't need to be told twice. He jumped down beside Bobcat, still breathing, thank the High Ones, turned his eyes upward, and met the bear's dark gaze glaring down. For a moment, nothing. Then the bear took a deep breath.
The ancients were indeed much wiser than fools and dreamers like myself. I declare now before you, rodent, and all your ilk here gathered, you are a madness, just as the ancients have said, a madness that must be guarded against and avoided, as one would avoid a fish that has lain too long in the sun.
He stood, turned, and clomped away into the underbrush, the thump of his paws sounding through the valley long after the trees farther up the slope had swallowed him. It seemed like minutes before Rat stopped shaking and could manage a glance at Bobcat. The deep, easy rhythm of his breath said nothing was probably broken, despite all that knocking around. Still, Rat figured he'd better rouse somebody, get a doctor out here as soon as... a sound and scent behind him. Rat whirled about a dozen rabbits, standing in a quiet row just at the edge of the patch of dirt, one hopping slowly toward him.
"Mr. Nibbler?"
the rabbit said, and Rat saw it was Harlow Thax. It took Rat another minute, but he finally got out.
"But how? Where did you... How long..."
"The night crew heard some commotion and sent for me. I must say..."
"Then you saw it? The bear? You saw what he was doing?"
Thax was nodding.
"This information must be brought to the board's attention before any action is taken against Ms. Ricks. If you wouldn't mind, Mr. Nibbler, I should like you to appear this morning at the meeting to..."
"Yeah, right, whatever, but we gotta get Bobcat looked at. You got a staff doctor or something?"
"Well, of course."
Thax turned to the row of rabbits. "Gable, run and wake my sister. Tell her we have someone in need of her attention. We can't risk moving him, so have her..." But with a sneeze, Bobcat rolled upright.
"Where is he?"
he snarled, lurching forward, but his paws didn't move with him, and he collapsed into the dirt again.
"Brains and eggs!"
"Whoa!"
Rat ran over and grabbed Bobcat's nose.
"Slow down, killer! You chased him off!"
Bobcat blinked at him.
"Rat?"
he asked in a tiny voice.
"Yeah. Can you walk any?"
"Do I have to?"
"It'd be helpful."
"Oh, well then."
With a groan, Bobcat pushed himself up.
"Anything to be helpful."
His glazed eyes fixed on Rat.
"The bear's gone? You did say that, didn't you?"
"Oh, yeah. We gave him something to think about."
"And Garson. Is she going to be all right now?"
Rat looked over at Thax.
"Well, that's not for me to say."
The rabbit cleared his throat.
"Well, I can promise you that the board of directors will take into account all relevant information before making their..."
"Oh, gods."
Bobcat's eyes clenched.
"Let me lie down for a few hours and I'll show you relevant."
"Yeah, right," Rat said. "You just follow me and we'll find some place to crash."
He turned to Thax.
"You got a barn we can use or something?"
"This way."
Thax hopped off through the cabbages. Rat followed with Bobcat and the rest of the rabbits coming along behind. Bobcat almost made it on his own, but in the end, he needed two of the larger rabbits to help him stay on his paws. When they came to the darkened farm buildings, Thax led them to a small barn that smelled of freshly cut hay. He undid the padlock, the other rabbits helping Bobcat in.
"I'll fetch you at dawn, Mr. Nibbler, so you can present your findings to the board. The doctor will stop by as well."
From inside the barn, Bobcat's slurred voice called out,
"No way, Thax. Your sister's not coming near me. Just let me sleep. I'll be fine. You hear? Rat, don't let her..."
His words trickled away, became the rustle of deep breathing. Rat looked at Thax. The rabbit flicked his ears.
"Your friend has, until recently, been responsible for much of my sister's business. Claw marks, mostly, but it has, on occasion, been more serious."
Nodding, Rat watched the night crew troop out of the barn.
"I'm sure he'll be fine, but right now, you'll pardon me, but I've got to get some sleep."
"Well, of course."
And Thax hopped off into the darkness. Rat pushed himself into the barn and fell unconscious onto the first pile of hay he came to. The dreams that struck him then were awful, full of huge dark things that loomed up and set the stars shaking. Claws ripped into him, tore at him, shredded his fur, and he leaped awake with a cry. The barnyard glowed with the light of a midsummer dawn. Thax next to him.
"Mr. Nibbler, it's time."
Rat blinked.
"Yeah, okay."
He dug his hat out of the straw, brushed the dirt from it, and stood.
"Let's go."
Thax led him through the barns to a low, round building along the bracken's wall. A rabbit in a red sash opened the door, and Rat lost a step, hundreds of eyes and wiggly noses turning to him. The older and more important-looking rabbits sat at a circular table in the center, the rest settled in rings around it and filling the room completely. In a well in the middle of the table lay a lone black-and-white rabbit, her ears down and her head on her front paws. The rabbits jostled aside to let Thax through, and Rat stuck close, tried to look less tired than he felt. He recognized the young rabbit who had given him directions the day before, and several of those who had helped Bobcat into the barn. They all perked their ears and smiled at him. Fax gestured to a low padded stool beside the table. Rat took it, Fax settling in the space on Rat's left.
This meeting of the board of directors, the rabbit began with a tap of his claws, has been convened to weigh charges against Garson Ricks, former field supervisor, to assess what penalty should be levied for her neglect of her duties while...
Well, he went on and on, but Rat wasn't really paying attention. Things kept pricking at his tired mind. How close he might have come to getting himself skewered on a claw and eaten, for instance. How none of this had been any of his business to start with. How maybe, without meaning to, or even really thinking about it, he'd just saved Ottersgate from some sort of ursine invasion.
Mr. Nibbler?
Someone said. He looked up, saw Thax smiling uncertainly at him.
Your report, Mr. Nibbler?
Oh, yes, of course.
Rat stood up, his fur bristling under the weight of all those eyes. He looked around, sighed, and said,
Okay, first thing is, my name's not Nibbler.
And he told them the truth, the whole story, from Bobcat stopping him in the woods to the bear stomping back up the hill.
Bobcat knew more was going on here, Rat finished, and he asked me to help him find out what. But you don't need me to spell it out. I've told you what I found and what Bobcat and I did about it. If I've made any sense at all, you'll see you can't hold Ms. Ricks responsible for this any more than you could blame her for an early frost or a flash flood. So, thanks for listening.
He sat, the chamber quiet, and after a moment, Thax spoke.
I've told you what I and our night crew witnessed during the early hours of this morning, and you've heard the report of our friend Rat. I ask you to consider all these factors before voting on the matter before the board.
Thax gestured to another rabbit. She adjusted her glasses and called out,
The board members will please announce their decisions concerning the penalty to be leveled on this charge as their names are called.
The rabbit cleared her throat and picked up a piece of paper.
Harlow Thax?
I vote the charges be dropped, Thax said quietly, and that the records show crop loss due to inclement conditions.
Whiskers at the table twitched, and the clerk continued to the next name. And all around the table, the voices rang out,
Drop the charges.
Agreed.
Yes, I suppose we must. Let the record so read.
Ears were perking throughout the hall, and when the last of the board members joined the others, the whole place went crazy, the rabbits in the audience jumping up and down and cheering. Thax let it go on for a moment, then raised his front paws and thumped the floor a few times with a hind foot. The commotion died down, and Thax turned to the black and white rabbit, smiling now from the well in the center of the table.
Garson Ricks, I hereby reinstate you as field supervisor. This meeting is now adjourned.
More cheers went up, and Thax undid part of the table to let Ms. Ricks out. Rabbits rushed forward, their voices a confused tangle to Rat's ears. Lowering his head, he pushed his way through to where he thought the door had been. Paws thumped him on the back, nearly knocked him over once or twice, but he finally sniffed fresh air, gave one final push, popped out into the sunlight of the farmyard. It was already hot. Setting his cloudy eyes on the barn where he'd left Bobcat, he plodded till he reached it. The sound of breathing, the cat, still asleep. Rat stumbled in, knocked his hat to the floor, curled into the hay, and joined him. He didn't dream this time, and he felt a lot less fuzzy between the ears when he was shaken awake again. He sat up and yawned, Bobcat squatting in the hay next to him.
So?
The cat asked. Rat shrugged.
So? So she got off. What'd you expect?
Before Bobcat could do more than say,
You mean it?
Something scratched at the door, and in stepped Garson Ricks. Rat saw Bobcat's eyes go wide, and a smile curled through his whiskers.
Garson!
Bobcat?
The rabbit said. Then she turned to Rat.
I just wanted to thank you for everything, Rat.
Rat held up a paw.
Now look at me, Ms. Ricks. If your boss hadn't seen that bear himself, I doubt anyone in that room would have believed a word of it. And besides, this whole thing was Bobcat's show from the start. He asked me to help him out, sure, but he did all the hard stuff.
Well, so you said.
The rabbit twitched her whiskers and turned.
Then thank you too, Bobcat.
Bobcat had gone red around the ears, his eyes focused on the ground.
Yeah, well...
He looked up and smiled a little.
I wanted to help, you know?
The same sort of smile touched Garson's whiskers, and the two held each other's gaze till Rat cleared his throat.
Well, I better be slouching along. He grabbed his hat and hefted his satchel. See you around, Bobcat, Ms. Ricks.
They both called his name at the same time, then started laughing. Bobcat bowed and gestured for Garson to go first.
Oh, just thanks again, she said. If you ever need any produce, let me know.
Me too, Bobcat put in. I mean, not the part about the produce, but, oh, you know, thanks for everything.
Rat doffed his hat with a flourish and stepped out into the noontime sunlight. Another scorcher, all right. The sort of day best spent in Ottersgate. If he hurried, he could maybe catch Kylie before she went to lunch. Darkling Eclectica Presents has brought you Part 18 of Rat's Reputation by Michael H. Payne. Music and narration were by Michael Payne. Darkling Eclectica Presents is a production of KUCI in Irvine.